Hi, and welcome to a new episode of Goop Podcast. My name is Austin Burney, and I'm joined by Pratna Tiwari, who's, she's kind of amazing. She does a lot of stuff. She's Bollywood, Body Spice editor. She's a photographer. She's a lawyer, and she's a part-time sari model. And she's a person that I've wanted to have on the podcast for so long, but she's an antipodean, so it takes a while to get things coordinated. But Pratna, I'm so happy you're on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I can't believe we finally worked this out, but about damn time, I tell you.
Salman Khan brings the world together, doesn't he?
He does. You know, I mean, I don't know if Jeho's going to do it in that way, but it's done it in this way, at least.
So we are talking about Jeho this week, and that's the only thing we're going to be talking about, tangents included. But okay, basically the whole podcast is just going to be talking about Jeho. It's a massive movie, right? I mean, however you want to look at it, Salman Khan movies are a big event. I think it was just kind of good to just take the time and talk about it. And I think before we get into it, I think both you and me have a few disclaimers we want to talk about, right? I think...
Yeah, we do.
First of all, I think both of us were huge Salman Khan fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those idiots who stands next to posters and takes pictures. So, you know, when you look at that girl and you're like, what the hell is she doing? Yeah, that's usually me. I used to have this, until recently, I was like, okay, no, you need to grow out of this. I used to have this huge wanted poster on the behind my door, which had him pointing a gun at me. So that's a bit crazy, you know.
See, wanted is even quite recent. So this is not even Sergeant time we're talking about. This is
No. You see, back in the day, my parents wouldn't allow me to buy posters. Otherwise, it would have been crazy times. But, you know, I'm the person who quotes his flop movies even, you know. Yeah. I love Maine Pyar Kyun Kiya. Like, does anyone even know that movie existed? I don't think, but I can quote it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jeho was a big deal for me because it's also a Sohail Khan directorial. Now, I live by Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya. Ozar was great. And I just... Basically, Pyar Kiya To Darna Kya was just one of my favorite Salman movies of all time.
Yeah.
So when I heard that he's directing him again, I was very, very excited.
Yeah, like, I was quite psyched.
Putting it mildly.
Yeah. And the second thing I think we also want to say, I think both for, I mean, this is definitely true for me, but I think it's true for you too. We don't really care about box office or if it beats Dhoom 3 or Chennai or whatever.
I haven't even seen Dhoom 3, so there you go.
Yeah, I mean, for us, it's more about did we enjoy the movie? And I think that's how we're coming at this talking about this movie, right? I mean, it's not about giving a score at the end of it and just having a nice discussion about it and just...
For the past, you know, we've had brilliant Salman Khan movies, but like when he's brought the mass entertainers back since Wanted, obviously.
Yeah.
And Bolly Spice asks me to review it each time because usually I'm going to be watching it like the first day if I can.
Mm.
And I always turn it down because I do not want to look at them in that critical analysis way. I just want to go in there and have a good time, you know. Like, so the fact that I've come back from Jeho and I feel like, okay, no, I need to talk about this one is a big deal. Usually I just come out and go buy a ticket and go back in. That's usually how my, you know, Salman Khan time works.
I think that's what when we were talking on Twitter yesterday, that was also what I told you. I just have so many feelings about this movie. I just want to talk to somebody and be able to process them. So as much as this is... Yeah, exactly.
Seriously, you hash it all out.
As much as this is a review podcast, this is also kind of therapy for the both of us.
Yeah, I mean, need therapy after Jeho. That's there's no denying that.
So let's talk about, first of all, just reception versus expectations for Jeho. You talked about it a little bit. It has been a while that Sohail Khan has directed a movie, and it's been a while that he's directed Salman Khan, and he's not directed Salman 2.0, right? I mean, I call Salman 2.0 whatever happened after Wanted.
Same.
we're never going to get the old Salman back anymore. He's changed as a person. He's become, I mean, larger than life. I mean, if there's any person that rings true, it rings true for Salman Khan. And I think his persona has become so much bigger that he wouldn't
He's like the Rajinikanth of North Indian cinema now. You know, like, I say one thing against him yesterday and I got like abuses hurled at me. Yeah. And I know that happens for Rajini fans, that people give them death threats if you hate Rajinikanth. So Salman Khan is that for the North Indians, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not aware of Rajinikanth that much of his work, but I do understand the phenomenon a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know his work either, but I know that he's like you just don't mess with Rajini fans.
Yeah, exactly. But he hasn't directed Salman Khan, and this was kind of a... And the other thing is, we've been waiting for a Salman Khan movie, right? I mean...
Yeah, we didn't get one last year.
We didn't get one last year, and for me, last year was... I felt something amiss the entire year. Nothing to look forward to.
No.
The whole year was just meh for me. I didn't do even that many podcasts on your podcast. Just nothing really interested me.
It was a too much of a sober year. It was Bollywood trying to be all sophisticated and make all that thinking cinema, which is, you know, great once in a while, but I just miss stuff that I could go in and laugh and have a good time. And when they did do it, they did it really wrong last year. So, like, you know, Boss just overdid it at points. So they just didn't have fun stuff. And, you know, we've apparently stopped writing good rom-coms as well.
Yeah, and I also think somewhere, and this has been happening for a while, but I think just the media has partly become to blame for it, that we've been focused on box office numbers, who's number one, who's number two. And I mean, I won't say that this is new for 2013, it didn't happen before, but it just started annoying me more. Like me personally, it got too much for me, where even movies that were making tons of money, like Chennai Express, I was lucky enough to interview Deepika and Shah Rukh. I watched that movie at least 4 months after the release. Like, even meeting these people couldn't excite me enough to actually watch it.
Was excited about Chennai Express, but that was the only thing I was excited about last year. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, like, nothing else got that fangirl out of me last year, which is quite sad, you know, because I'm usually in fangirl mode.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be a fan of things. I want movies to do well, and I want to see good cinema, but there's nothing that excited me. And I think actually my favorite movie was Dhoom 3 at the end of the year. And
I need to watch
yeah, I was quite surprised how many people kind of came out and hated Aamir Khan. I was like, wow, this feeling exists in the world? People hate Aamir Khan? Like,
I thought it was a prosecutable crime, but apparently it's not, thank God.
Yeah. So, I mean, expectations were personally huge, but I think also like from Eros, from Salman, from Sohail Khan Productions, I think there was a lot tied to it, I feel. But I don't know if Salman was fully on board. Did you ever have that feeling? I think I was watching a few interviews and a few promos, and you know when Salman is on board a movie, right? I mean, when The Bung hit, when Wanted hit, he was like fully, you know, like excited for those movies. And I
honestly think he was a bit lost with this one, because I mean, he wanted to do this, you know, whole social media. We'll get into that later, because that's like a couple of podcasts in itself, I think. They didn't know how to promote this movie, I think, for starters. They didn't know what to sell it as. So he kept on harping on about this thing where he wants people to go home with a message and not a dance style or a clothing style or anything like that. But I don't know. He did seem a bit off when he was interviewing for stuff, and the casting was just really odd. The hype for the casting was just really weird, I felt. I mean, he did say that he couldn't have a big actress because he said that, you know, it was too minor of a role and no big girl like would take it on.
Yeah,
but I don't know. I definitely think there was something a bit like amiss in the promotion and, you know, the talks that came before it.
Yeah. And I mean, this is the thing with fandom. Sometimes we project our own feelings on these actors, so you never really know. But I feel I have a very personal connect with Salman Khan that nobody else has. So I felt that he was a bit, he didn't know how.
Hey, I think I'm a notch above him.
So I just felt something was off. And when he was talking about the movie, so again, I don't know where the expectation from him was coming from, for us at the audience was coming off, but it looks like the reception has definitely not matched that expectation.
See, when Ekta Tiger hit, it was like a storm.
Yeah.
It was like a tornado, you know, that was the idea. And I think that's a very good indication of how a movie is going to be, you know, talked about. When Chennai Express hit, like, you know, people were giving you numbers by the minute. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm obsessed with numbers, but I'm just saying that that was the impact that it got people that involved. You know, Jai Ho released, what, not even a week ago, and I'm hardly hearing about it. Yeah. I think that's enough. I'm not surprised that the critics are bashing it. They always bash a Salman movie. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't see that sort of reaction to it, which just says that, yes, this one has gone a bit off track.
Yeah, yeah. There's not even like vitriol being spewed by anti-Salman fans necessarily.
No,
there's just like...
They don't have to.
Yeah, there's just like silence about it. And I think, like you mentioned, I think you've probably read more reviews than I have. But I think, except for Tarun Adarsh's review, if you can even call those things reviews, that was a positive one. And I think maybe KRK's one was a positive one.
Actually, I have a feeling that my reviewer from Bali Spice liked this. So there you are. There are people who liked. I think she gave it, let me just double check that. Yeah, she's given it 3.5. So I think that's pretty high.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you know what my problem with most of the reviews is that it's these people need to know what a proper Salman Khan fan wants, because a lot of these reviews have just, you know, said that, oh, it's for a Salman Khan fan. That's what this movie's for. I'm like, no, this is not what a Salman Khan fan wants.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. How do you review a movie like Jai Ho? It's hard, I feel. I think...
First of all, you can't review like the other movies, right? You don't sit there and you break it up in terms of story, script and all. I think it's very important to review, you know, match oranges with oranges and apples with apples,
yeah.
Okay? You don't compare a Jai Ho to, I don't know what, a lunchbox or a barfi or whatever you might call it.
Mm.
My main thing is, does it meet its expectations? If it does, it needs to get a good rating. If it promised to entertain you, to make you buy another ticket, to, you know, be a family entertainer, then it's doing its job. But if those things aren't ticked, then that's a failed Salman Khan movie for me.
Yeah, I think also what is important when you talk about a movie is, like you said, you compare it to apples and oranges. So you can compare a Jai Ho to a Chennai Express. You can compare it to a Dhoom 3. Because I feel Chennai Express is very close to something like Dabang. And from my personal opinion, because it's in the same genre, where it both uses tropes of 80s masalas movie, 90 masala movies, add a bit of a sudden twist to it, and gives you a product that is very much in line with what the strong points of the actor is. And I think both Dabang and Chennai did that. Where I feel something like Wanted is more aligned with Gajani, where it's very much that Southification style of boom, boom, bash, bash. The problem with Jai Ho is that it wants to be a Swades, it wants to maybe be a Three Idiots or a Rang De Basanti, but it actually is more like a Shahid Kapoor Paatshala.
Oh my God.
And I think that's what the problem is. I think when you are tackling a message movie, and I mean, it's a great message, I think. I mean, it's great. It's
absolutely
nice. I mean,
it's not denying that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like a school play with good intentions, you know? I mean, it's hard to rail on the intentions of it, but it's how you're bringing it and how you're comparing it, how you're bringing it to the audience that actually wants to come that come and see that message. And there they, I think they're doing a very bad job. I think it's not on par with the Swades. It's not on par with the Three Idiots at all. Jackie Bhagnani's Faltu did a better job of bringing in a message than Salman Khan's Jai Ho did.
Yes, definitely. I would say, see, my thing was that they wanted to bring a message, but they didn't want to get rid of Salman Khan, right? They wanted to make it a Salman Khan movie with a message, which is a very odd combination, you know? And for my main thing is that overly preachy movies don't do well.
Yeah.
Okay, you need to make the message subtle. For, I mean, you can't, with Jai Ho, it felt like they were shoving it down your throat.
Yeah,
okay?
Force feeding,
it was force feeding. You need to put the message in there. Idiots won't take it. Good people will take it. That's just how the world works. You know, it's called free will. And also my thing was that they wanted to do a message movie, but they didn't want to get rid of the messiness, which is a very odd combination. My thing is, if you wanted to do a movie like this, go all out and get a director and a writer who can write a movie like this. You know, you can't just get anyone that you're comfortable with to write it. You need to let people who are good at that genre write it.
Yeah, and I think what you touch on there, I think, is a very main point. I think the fault is with the director for this movie, and I, like, we both, like we said, we both like Sohail Khan as a, I mean, I even
just
like
his cup of tea, unfortunately.
I even like him as an actor, actually.
I love him as an actor.
Proud to be an Indian is one of my all time favorite movies.
It's a beautiful film, and I think he does brilliant comedy as well. I don't know if anyone has even watched this movie, but Mayor Mrs. Khanna is brilliant. I love that movie.
Yeah, I didn't like that one, but High Proud to Be Indian.
It was lovely to see him take reign as opposed to Salman Khan. That was really refreshing.
Yeah. But yeah, in both cases, I think here he fails. And I think it is possible to have a message movie with Salman Khan, but you need somebody that has that Salman Khan actually maybe would listen to instead of, you know, he becomes such a big
presence.
He doesn't
listen to many. You know, this movie just makes me realize that he goes directs everything. You know, people are all, you know, saying that, oh, Aamir Khan goes directs or not. But I think it's Salman Khan who goes directs because they're all merging into one. The director's individual styles are no longer there. Like, I could not see Sohail Khan here.
Yeah. And I think what's really happened between old Salman Khan and nouveau Salman Khan, Salman 2.0, is the cinema has shifted and directors have become a lot more prominent. I think back in the day, you didn't necessarily even need a director, you know? But now you do. The voice of the director is so much more stronger. And I think...
And you need to have disconnected writers as well. You can't have them all the same because I always think that a writer and an editor cannot be a director because they need that individual perspective to do a good job.
Yeah. So... before we get into the review, I had two more general thoughts about this movie that I kind of wanted to ask you. Do you think, a lot of the reviews I've seen or the tweets I've seen call this a typical Salman Khan movie?
That's a lie.
Go ahead.
It's definitely not. I mean, I saw those reviews and I hated the fact that they called it a typical Salman Khan movie because they are bunching it up with a ready, with a bodyguard, with a wanted and another bunk. I loved all those movies, right? Those were entertainers. I had a good laugh in them. I cried in them. I got up and danced. Whereas this one, first of all, the songs came on and I literally closed my ears during that first class, third class song it was.
Yeah.
It was noise. Only thing good was that he could dance in this movie. So well done to the choreographer. First of all, that wasn't there. I didn't feel like getting up and dancing. I did not laugh. Most of the time, I was really petrified and disgusted. In the action sequences, I was petrified in the action sequences. I was like, why is he biting people? What the hell? Why must he growl?
I kind of like that, actually. But the thing for me, what's interesting is the movies that you've just mentioned, I don't know what a typical Salman Khan movie is. I feel that the movies he's come out with have been pretty much very, very different. I mean, Reddy to Bodyguard to Dabang, these are very different movies.
And I think the only thing common between all of them is that he's got this, he brought back this machismo sort of, feel to the Indian movie actor. Because, thanks to Dharma and Yash Raj and all, we were really into this whole metro hero thing, which I was really getting sick of because I like my men to look like men, thank you very much. When they start putting on the same amount of makeup as I do, it's a bit worrying. So I was really glad when that happened, So that's probably the only thing that these films have in common. But yes, they're individually very different films. Already is, he said that Already was a very, it was a family entertainer. It was a comedy out and out. There was very little seriousness in it,
Even in terms of a character, I feel what he was portraying in Bodyguard, he was kind of a very disciplined, shy guy.
I think Bodyguard was one of his best performances till date, because I think for a Salman Khan to do that, to be scared in front of Kareena Kapoor, seriously.
Yeah, and if you compare that to Dabang or whatever, I mean, these are vastly different roles. So again, this also comes into play when people say that Salman Khan doesn't put an effort in or he doesn't act. I just don't get it. I don't understand that criticism of this is a typical Salman Khan movie. I mean,
I don't think people are looking at the movie closely enough. I think they sort of just they get carried away with the outer aura of a movie, which tends to be the same for a Salman Khan movie. It's gonna make 100 crores. The fans are gonna go crazy. And all of that. So people sort of think, okay, it's the same. And for him to really shock these critics, I think he'll have to go out and do, I don't know what, an Anurag Basu movie in a small budget and, not have a song in dance or something.
I'm not even going to let you finish that thought because I don't want that.
But it's like these, it won't, because these people can't see the difference in subtleties. They need something as drastic as that to make them go, oh my God. So, because, that's India for you. They think that unless you shed off the makeup and take songs off, you're making massy films. Apart from that, you just, then you can make art films and all of that. I think they want that packaging to change.
Yeah. But for me, it's like, you know, like a Picasso painting. You can bloody hell see any Picasso painting and figure out it's a Picasso painting, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that every painting is the same. I mean,
it's the same.
If Shah Rukh is going to spread his arms in any movie, Salman is going to take off his shirt in any movie. So it doesn't make every movie the same.
It's a little token, you know, like Hitchcock used to appear in every in a frame in every one of his movies. Yeah. It's just a token, you know. It's you know, fans could pay their good money to see it, and so they do deliver that small point. You know, it doesn't mean the whole movie is going to be centered around him taking his shirt off.
And the second,
it would be lovely if they did, but they didn't.
I think we all love it, and we do feel a miss when there's something that, that like there's a cop out scene like in Ekta Tiger. I was like, come on, man, do it properly. second big thing that I kind of picked up from all the reviews and tweets is that this movie is basically a cash grab. It's some big conspiracy to make like 100 billion crores and all in the pockets of Sohail Khan and Salman Khan.
I don't think that's necessarily true. I think sure, they have those elements in there to make sure that this is like, you know, they put a soft Naina song in there and all of that sort of stuff. But I really think they were trying to do something different. I just think they didn't know how to do it.
Yeah. I think when I think of a cash grab movie, and I think I'm sure you fangirl might object to this, but I think of Kitchen Night Express.
I will agree, actually. I will agree. I love Chennai Express, but yes, it was a cash.
It's a movie made with a single mindset to make a certain box office hit. You know, it's like made to beat Ekta Tiger or whatever, you know? And that's what I think.
But I think it was also made to entertain. It was, the entertainment was there, but the main purpose wasn't obviously to, you know, get a Oscar or whatever. It was to make good money.
Yeah, and I mean, they were doing that by entertaining, so it was kind of a means to a goal, and the goal was making that bank. And my thing is, I really feel that, and this is again that personal contact that I have with Salman Khan mentally, is Salman really believes in this kind of heroism. He really believes in this kind of sacrifice.
Very naive.
And very basic kind of goodness, humanities, and sacrifice. The movies that he's written himself always have those themes of sacrifice and heroism and like very standing up alone if necessary, and you know, like
going against the, you know, tide sort of thing.
Yeah, and I really do believe he's trying to convey a message, but I just feel that he's not been surrounded by the right team, not by the right composers, not by the right dialogue writers, not the right people that could actually bring that thought, that key thought, actually on screen. When I always think about his idea, his mindset, I go back to Baghi. He had the story idea for that movie, but the team around him was so great that it's one of those movies that I can still watch now and I still enjoy it. And you know, like then if you give him too much control, it ends up becoming Veer, where you need somebody that can like edit 25 minutes out of that movie and make some sense out of it. And I think at least if they had a good editor, maybe Jeho wouldn't be such a failure as it is. But they didn't.
I think editing was a big issue with Jeho. You know, you didn't need, you know, a handicapped girl and then a girl with a wooden arm. Was just wrong. I didn't know what to do. I felt like walking out of the cinema for those two scenes because I felt like those people were exploited.
Yeah. I had a moment like at interval, like I was there with my friends and I was thinking, should we walk out? Like, and that has never happened to me. That has not happened to me since Mayor or Mrs. Khanna, actually, that I was thinking, wow.
I've never felt like I watched the whole of Krish 3 and really enjoyed it. So my my standards are pretty damn low. But with those two sequences, I felt like walking out. I felt those people were exploited. I felt people with those needs were exploited for a means. You know what I mean? A message can be delivered without making it so trivial and so bloody naive. You know, I felt angry actually in those two scenes. Yeah. That's probably the better way to describe it. And that's my problem with the entire movie. It was just one desperate situation after the other that he comes to the rescue in, like, and I know that he says that, oh, why do these things keep happening to me, but my thing was that they, first of all, they usually don't happen to this one person. That's a bit really odd.
Yeah.
And I don't know, he just portrayed everyone as very evil. Like, apart from him, everyone in this world is evil. None of us do good, and none of us, you know, stop on the way to help anyone. It's a, that's what the message was trying to, it was a very grim movie in that sense that said the world is evil and, you know, we're going to start changing it from here on. You know, it was a bit naive in that sense. And I absolutely agree that he was, I mean, the intentions behind the movie were correct, but the people around it were just as wrong as they come. Like, it needed, I don't know which writer it needed, I don't know which director it needed, but it just definitely needed only Salman Khan, and everything else around him should have changed.
Yeah. So let's move on and talk a bit about the positives of the movie. I think we've kind of had a general idea about where the movie is coming from, our thoughts about it. But let's dig into the movie itself now, and let's start with a bit with the positives. I'll go first.
Go for it. Because I'm going to struggle thinking.
Yeah, no, I made a list. Otherwise, I wouldn't have come up to it. I prepared. I made notes. Let's talk a bit about Daisy Shah. We haven't done that yet.
I was just going to say, that was the only positive of the movie.
Yeah, I think, I mean, she's kind of a combination of Rimi Sen and Rani Mukherjee a little bit.
That's so true. I'm looking at a photo of her now, and that is so damn true.
Yeah, but unfortunately, she's not the actress that in any of those two are. But she is an amazing dancer, I have to say.
She's been like a backup dancer and assistant choreographer for centuries, apparently. And everyone tends to know her, which I was surprised about, because I just thought she was another South import, you know, because that's what we do these days.
Yeah.
But she was, first of all, big positive for the movie for giving a heroine such a big entry. Thank you very much. I think I speak on behalf of all womankind. I was really like elated that the girl of a Salman Khan movie was getting an entry. They usually don't.
Yeah.
They just come in and, you know, you see the eyes and he's like, oh, they're so pretty, and that's it, you know. Mm. But here you got like a really heroine type of entry, which was just lovely. She was the lighter part of the movie. When she came, you were like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, I think also like I haven't seen somebody have such a limelight debut for a heroine in such a long time. You know, she got like a 7-minute dance intro or something like that.
That was just outstanding.
And the problem is that all of those dance skills are not presented in the movie at all after that. So Jesus packed everything in those first 7 minutes.
7 minutes, because they're like, after that you have to just sit quiet in the corner and let the men do everything.
Yeah, and but also there's just so many characters packed in that there's not enough left for her to do, I guess. I think they could have definitely cut some roles off or made a moment where she takes part in this scheme of his, you know, of helping three
people
out.
Absolutely. Why can't she do something?
Why does that ever happen? I think she looks great in the songs. I think in terms of dialogue delivery, she still needs work. But I guess I get
we've seen worse, though.
Yeah.
You have to admit, we've seen worse, much
definitely,
worse, you know.
Definitely.
I mean, I haven't seen Yaria, but the promos of that tell me that that's going to be traumatic. So, you know, her debut, I think, first of all, yeah, she needed more meat to play with. I think she could have delivered, if she was given more stuff. Also, I have this theory of mine that whenever a girl in these sort of movies doesn't deliver, it also might be for the fact that the director is not putting enough effort in those scenes, you know? Like, say, for example, she's done a bad dialogue, you need to call a retake. But for them, it's like, oh yeah, it's just a minor heroine scene, let it go.
Yeah.
I think the perfection sort of slides when the heroine comes in, which is why their scenes tend to look a bit hashy in that sense.
Yeah.
But I think she got a fabulous debut. I'd really hope she sticks around and we give her something else that's, you know, a bit more meaty, I guess. And dancing, oh my God. I mean, I think dancing has gone out of our movies, so it's really great to see someone so well-trained.
Yeah, I think if she works a bit on our dialogue delivery, and, you know, she could be kind of a good counterpart to Sonakshi Sinha, you know, even. I really like Sonakshi, but I think, in a way, her choice of roles is getting a bit stale. I think even switching it up, I think she could kind of fill that slot in, I think. She has a very nice visual sense, and she looks great in the songs. Unfortunately, all the songs are horrible, but she does look great in them. And
yeah.
I think on her side, there was quite a bit of chemistry towards Salman, too.
There's always chemistry from the girl's side and none from him.
None
I'm seriously
from him.
Sick of that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the man's problem is, but first of all, putting a glasses on a man during a romantic song should never happen. You just kill the connect right over there.
You know what my theory is? You know what my theory is? He just misses Karishma Kapoor.
Which is fine. I totally agree and I sympathize with him. But, you know, what to do if she doesn't want to do a movie? You need to move on.
No, I think he needs to get her back into the movies. I think this is a great... I think Salman, more than any other hero, except maybe Shah Rukh Khan, would benefit by getting his old school heroines back in his movies.
Oh, yeah. I think all of them could. So they could finally stop these stupid jokes that, you're acting with 20-somethings or whatever it might be. There's no reason why these women can't. I mean, for once, I think people like Karishma Kapoor are begging to come back and not getting any movies right now. I mean, like, that movie, that book is a cry for help. So
yeah, I think she would be perfect. I think if Salman Khan and Karishma Kapoor come together in a movie, I'm getting two tickets, and it would be an awesome team up, and I think it would be a casting coup. And I think somebody needs to be a genius like me and cast these two guys together. So moving on. From Daisy Shah, I think the other good point was Tabu.
But I was sad to see her be just there as the, you know, backstroking sister. It was a bit, it was like, you know, this is Tabu, I mean, we're talking about. And the fact that she was relegated to only that was a bit sad. But nevertheless, I mean, she came out of, I don't know where, what cave she hides in for the movie, which I'm so glad for.
I don't necessarily feel she was relegated to anything. I think she definitely had the second biggest role after Salman Khan, and I think she's a freaking awesome. She looks beautiful. She's talented as always. And there were two vibes I was getting from Tabu. Is A, she was embarrassing saying these lines that were actually written for her, but she was actually doing a good job delivering those lines, because she was the only person, except Salman Khan, who made me actually believe that she was actually, you know, feeling what she was saying. And I think you need a really talented actress to be able to pull that off.
Absolutely. I think Salman Khan called in a big favor in terms of casting her, because let's face it, she is very picky and she has no bones about that. The fact that she says that and she did the film, and obviously she's a good actress, so she's incapable of doing anything too badly, which is what made it all bearable, I think. But I don't know, just that scene where Salman Khan comes and saves her and she's just standing in the corner weeping, it just drove me up the wall. I was really annoyed to see Tabu in such a weak role, I should say.
Yeah. I want to get back to that a bit soon when we talk about the negatives. I think she is great. And I think they actually have a nice kind of like brother-sisterly vibe going on together.
It was the Hamsa Sapeh thing that came back and that got me really emotional. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah. It's, you know, Bhabhi and they were reuniting and all. So it was sweet.
Yeah, I didn't like the guy that they paired her off with.
That was Salman Khan calling in favors.
That's like a TV actor, right? I don't know his name.
He was Neelam's husband in Hum Saath Saath Hai. I don't even know his name. I should Google it. Yeah. That was, you know, Salman Khan bringing his crew in from, you know, the last however many years he's been around.
Yeah, I don't like that guy, and I think seriously, if Tabu was like freaking awesome like that, she would be like a total cougar and have this young guy with six pack abs, you know, like she could have gotten like whatever Ashmit Patel or whatever, you know, like
if she wants Ashmit Patel, but she doesn't, I know that for sure.
Exactly, but she could have, you know, so I'm just saying. Two other positives that I found, and those were really it. I enjoyed the fight scenes.
They went on forever.
I liked what... Because Suhail Khan has this very specific style of action, and it's a lot more based on just punching people and biting and being very violent. And I like that. It appeals to me. It wasn't kind of that South style, which I'm really frankly bored of. Like punching people and they're flying like doing flip-flops and the heroes doing flip-flops and stuff like that, where I felt Bodyguard was a lot of that. I don't think this was kind of a more raw and brutal kind of action, which I appreciated.
Like sleek action. That's my kind of action where, you know, you don't have to see the blood.
Yeah.
This was just way too much blood for me. And I don't know, sometimes I felt like it was getting predictable. I knew that he was going to do this to that guy and then do that to that guy. And I did like have a one fight sequence. It was shot in a very thriller-ish way, in the sense that, you know, the hero, most of the time, I mean, we got this sense that the people who were getting beaten up, they were petrified of him, you know? Yeah. So that one scene where he comes inside that party house or whatever, that political house that he comes in.
Yeah.
And it's shot like a thriller, because they're hiding and they just don't know where he's going to come from. And, you know, you just see glimpses of him from this side to that side. You just don't know where he's going to come from. So that was the only good part, that I thought it was very well shot. But apart from that, I don't know, it was very gory.
Yeah, that's the part that I actually liked. But that's a personal choice, you know. He actually pulled somebody's cheek with a fish hook. I was like, come on, man, you don't see enough fish hooks in Bollywood. This is awesome. And I like the biting. I think when you're up against 40 people, you gotta bite, you know. It's like, you just take what you can. So I liked it. And even more than the fight scenes, I think I like the confrontation scenes between those people. Setups, you know, with Danny Dinzongpa, the ones before that, even the ones with Mukul Dev. I think they had kind of a nice kind of build-off and a good payoff. Yeah. So I do like what they did there. And some of the comedy scenes I also thought were funny, especially with
the little kid was amazing.
The little kid was amazing, right?
He was amazing. Outstanding. He's the same kid from Bombay Talkies, right? I think he is.
Oh, is he? Is he the guy that wants to be Katrina Kaif?
I think he is. I'm pretty sure, because I was like, oh my God, I've seen that kid somewhere, and he's brilliant in that thing as well.
Yeah, he is. And there were quite a few moments where I thought, actually, this kid is the best actor in this entire movie.
His name is Naman Jain, so take a bow, Naman Jain. Yeah. He was outstanding. And the fact that he lived up to... you know, Salman's stardom and everything, like he really draws you in when he's on screen.
Yeah, and I think there were quite a few moments that Salman Khan like really cracked up for just watching this little kid, you know? We know Salman, you know, sometimes he's not able to emote as well as we want him, but he was just cracking up watching this kid act. And even his kind of his voice modulation, like his pitch was perfect. But when he needed to be loud, he was loud, but not too loud or screechy. I thought he was great. A lot of his scenes are playing off against Daisy Shah, and he just kind of, you know, wipes the floor with her. It's amazing. Yeah. This kid is outstanding. Amazing. Yeah.
I hope he sticks around when he's grown up.
I hope so too, and I hope he doesn't end up in that awkward Jugal Hansraj face.
That's not good.
I think that's it for me from positives, unfortunately. Do you have any that you can kind of like?
For me, the main thing was, yeah, Daisy Shah. I felt like, you know, she was the best part of the movie. Apart from that, no, I can't think of any. I have to say the choreography. I don't know who did it. I should probably Google that as well. But I really felt like, because I was waiting for this one stupid belt move or something like that would come up. But it didn't. It was actually proper dance. I mean, and the songs were terrible. So I think they need like an extra brownie point for being able to even choreograph to those things. And for making Salman Khan really dance, he was fully into it, and he wasn't like half-assing it like he usually does.
Yeah, no, I think they did quite do a really good job, especially even that first song, which is completely forgettable. As something about about photocopies bakwas or something like that.
Mixed two songs. I think there was first song was Baki. I'm reading this. I didn't know these by heart because I refuse to listen to them. Baki Sab First Class. It was very well done. I thought. There was another song that I thought was very well done, but for the life of me, I can't remember.
I like the scope of it. I think in terms of scope, like his Dabang 2 song with all of the cops. That is one of the best like scope, like have tons of background dancers. And I think
that's amazing.
Choreography, this was kind of really good. And I like the kind of like his, because he likes to do his Michael Jackson moonwalk breaking steps, and they incorporated that really well in it. I think that was, you're right, I think that was good. Yeah, I think we need to kind of move.
We've
to...
exhausted it.
Yeah, we have. I think we need to move to negatives now. And I think
what a shame.
Yeah, I think the first one we want to talk about is Sohail Khan, the director, right?
I don't even know if he directed this. That's my first thing. I don't know if he did. I think it was too much driven by Salman's need to be Salman Khan and make this messy film, but deliver this message, because I just didn't feel like I saw the sort of Khan that I've seen in all the other ones.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, even if you go back to Ozar, Sohail has...
Which I just recently re-saw, so...
Oh, did you? Okay. How are the short shorts that they were wearing?
Amazing stuff, man. Like, outstanding. It takes confidence to pull
it takes confidence to make him that short, right? but he always has this very visual... He has a visual energy to his movies, and I really like that. And he almost has this very kind of a dramatic build-up to the movies. And I think...
I missed that in this. It was like the climax came like 5 times. There was no build-up to a climax.
Yeah. It did show in some of those confrontation scenes that I was kind of mentioning, right, with Mikkel Dave and Danny Dinzongpa. So it did have a bit of that. But the visual energy was basically only in the action scenes or in the songs. Yeah. And the problem with those two scenes is you have a choreographer and you have a cinematographer. And for the gloss, you have a budget of a very big production company behind you. So what are you really adding as a director? You really start to wonder, especially when you have a star that is taking the majority of his own persona to the movie. So I feel like for us that actually like him as a director, he didn't deliver. He basically, you know, he failed us. And I think...
It definitely did, because, I mean... For me, there's no film, no Salman Khan movie bigger than Pyar Kiya Toh Na Kya. But also, I was just doing a little bit of back research here, and I just realized, obviously, this is a movie. This movie is written by A.R. Murugadas. Okay,
the original was
Stalin was, and they still credit him as the writer of this new one as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, my thing is that the Sohail Khan that I love, which is obviously the one who did, you know, Pyar Kiya Toh Na Kya, that was his script. So here he was taking on someone else's script. And I'm not quite sure. I mean, some of the South fans can, you know, maybe enlighten me. But to my understanding, Stalin wasn't a huge hit in Telugu. So I remember when I first read that they were remaking it, I was just like, okay, I mean, there's bigger movies that you could be remaking. But I didn't think it was that a huge hit in Telugu, but I might be wrong. But yeah, I think the main issue lies that first of all, it wasn't just Sohail Khan's script. So the Sohail Khan director wasn't 100% there either.
But in a way, I find that those are the kind of remakes that I actually like. The people, movies that weren't great or could be improved upon. You add something and then you make it instead of something that's already a given and it's already a huge hit. You know, like remaking Dabang to other languages. To me, it doesn't necessarily make sense when you already have Salman Khan doing it. You know, unless you're bringing it. Like, you know, I thought Wanted was a great remake. I mean, it's. It was maybe a hit, but it really was catered towards Salman Khan's strength. And maybe
that was brilliant. I was so excited for that remake, I remember. And I loved the original. Like, I loved the original.
Yeah.
And I remember reading about it being remade in Hindi, and I was actually so excited. Usually I'm just like, oh, God, no. Yeah. But, you know, this The Wanted was, you know, very well written and tweaked for us. Yeah. Well, I haven't seen Stalin, but I dare say that maybe it wasn't tweaked like it should have been.
Yeah. And, I mean, with Murugadas, there's also Dilip Shukla, who wrote this too. And he's done some of the greatest Salman Khan movies, you know. He's been involved with both Dabangs. He's done even Andaz Apna Apna. So I don't exactly know what he did here. I mean, he both these guys really failed us, because the dialogue is horrible. The screenplay is horrible.
The dialogue is really bad. But like I said, you know, I don't know. It just felt like there was way too much forced energy in the movie, and Salman Khan really trying to do something, and it's like he was telling everyone, look, we have to deliver this message, but it has to be in my Salman Khan way, so it has to happen. And I think like their natural instincts of how they would have done stuff didn't kick in.
But also just the concept of, you know, this idea of what was originally from Pay It Forward, it's just horribly implemented in this movie. Basically,
oh, it is. He kills like 20 other people when he's doing one.
Yeah, but they're also repeating the same line word for word ad nauseum. basically, what's happening in the movie, Salman Khan says it, then somebody hears it and repeats it to Salman Khan, making sure he heard it, right? And then he has a flashback of Salman Khan saying it, and then he says it to somebody else. So we're hearing the four times within 10 minutes exactly the same lines, and it's horrible. It never gets an idea, because Pay It Forward has a nice, catchy, you know, idea. It has like, you know, and sometimes they call it an idea, sometimes they call it a chain, sometimes they call it a thought, but they never really, you know, like contain it into something that's Pay It Forward.
For me, practically, they don't illustrate it well, you know, like in that final sequence where he's trying to save his nephew and he's going up in a motorbike on that railway station, he knocks over like 20 people who probably broke their legs and whatnot else, you know, so... I'm a very practical person, and usually I switch my brain off when I'm going to watch a massy entertainer. Yeah. But here I was like, okay, dude, you're promising that you're going to help three more people and whatever, but you actually are failing at it because you're causing so much pain. Because first of all, when you help these three people, you piss off like 50 others.
But also the fact is that the concept doesn't work because you also have to help three people if somebody's almost saved you from a rape or your child being abducted, but you also have to help three people if you get a free tiffin in a school. Like, what the hell is that about? You know, like, we're just gonna, you know, like, be throwing these three gifts or helping out people for everything? That doesn't even make sense. You know, the level of collaboration on this idea is everywhere, and the problem is also like none of those characters that are completely disjointed, and I'm talking about all those other guys, right? You know, like all the Ashmit Patels and the Yash Tongs and the Vatsal Seths and the Tulip Joshis, they never...
The Salman Khan charity case gang, I call them.
Yeah, they don't ever really help anybody.
He has to go making sure that they actually live up to their promise, which is just defeats the purpose. Is he going to help more people?
They still make sure don't. He visits them and they still don't do it. Like there's this one guy that say like Tulip Joshi and her husband give out like tiffin boxes to a school and that's it. Like what the hell? That was it. Like their kid got saved, right? Those were the ones that had the kid.
The kid got taken away by.
Yeah, that's the only thing you're gonna do. What's the old guy didn't do anything. Vatsal Seth didn't do anything. His wife didn't do anything. Like what the hell is that about, you know? And it never built up a momentum. When you look at a movie like Lage Ro Munna Bhai, you actually believe that this Gandhigiri idea is taking hold of the entire world, you know, of all of India, and they did an excellent job with that. When you look at a movie like Rang De Basanti, you actually believe that, you know, there's a revolution started in youth.
So true.
It never happens in Jai Ho, and it needs to. That's where the movie ultimately fails, and it feels completely haphazard scenes one after the other.
You know, I'm so glad you mentioned Rang De Basanti, because I'm a pessimist, okay? I'm a lawyer, I'm a pessimist, but train my brain into being a very negative person generally. So even a movie like Rang De Basanti, you know, I'm watching it and usually I just think it's a lot of bullshit, you know, because I'm thinking people are not going to listen, yada, yada, yada. But that final sequence, that build up to that final sequence even grapples someone like me up, you know. I seriously think, wow, if, you know, if I had to listen to this on a radio, this is what my emotions would be. And I generally think it's just phenomenal. Whereas here, there was none of that. You know, the whole idea is that you can change pessimists like me into thinking that your idea is actually worth my time, you know. But first of all, it just doesn't take off. And another movie that I kept on thinking about when I was watching this movie, I don't know if you'll agree, but was Phir Bhi Dil Hai Hindustani. I mean, that was Shah Rukh Khan trying to be all, you know, it was him trying to do a bit of social work in terms of a message delivering movie. But it took puns, and you know, it made points about really fundamental issues in our society, but it was done in a very entertaining and an empowering way.
Yeah, I really liked that movie. I remember
it
that
was
movie.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
it was brilliantly done.
Yeah, I liked. I mean, the songs were great even in that movie. I think Shah Rukh and Juhi are like one of the best teams together. I know people always talk about Shah Rukh and Kajol, but I think Juhi and Shah Rukh are really there too.
I mean, nothing can beat Shah Rukh and Kajol. I mean, we got to admit that, right? I mean, they're awesome, but still, Juhi is also awesome. So
yeah, and that movie for me was very important because I felt, that was like, 2000? That was after, you know, Khushi Chota Hai, and people thought that Shah Rukh Khan was just, you know, set in his ways now. But he did something so different, and it was message delivering. I didn't feel stifled. I didn't feel like it was being shoved down my throat. And it was entertaining. Yeah. And it was great build-up that actually worked, you know, but the end result actually worked.
Yeah, I mean, just to go on, off on a tangent, I know it's Shah Rukh, whenever he appears on screen and does an interview, he has one sob story to tell one after the other. But I actually really feel sad when he says that him, Juhi Chawla and Aziz Mirza were actually sobbing and crying that movie failed completely. Because I really love that movie. And
it's a beautiful film. I thought it was just brilliant. Yeah. I mean, shame on... I mean, we can all blame Hrithik Roshan for the movie's failure because it released the same week as Kahan Apna Hai. I remember actually watching them back to back, and at that time I remember being more impressed by Kahan Apna Hai. I don't know why, man, seriously. It's a brilliantly written film and amazing characters, you know. And just a great transformation of a man who was selfish to someone doing something. I thought that was very good. I think maybe that's what this movie also needed. We are not all born to be Samaritans, you know. Most of us are, you know, selfish and vain or whatever you might call it. And it just needed to show the transition as well about how we can change ourselves.
Yeah, maybe some character growth in Jay himself, you know, like at least...
Yeah,
you know,
there was no character growth. It's like he was born perfect and then he just wants everyone else to be perfect.
it was a shame. I think there were two moments like in the movie when, you know, when they start doing that table of three and Salman is actually making a poster to... He actually draws a picture to show what his idea is, because the idea is so complicated, and they just keep doing this math formula for like 5 minutes, and I thought that was going to be the rest of the movie. They would just keep doing the math formula until like the nth power of it. Or
thank God they didn't draw that every time they repeated the dialogue. That would have sucked.
The dialogue sucked as itself. So it was horrible. I think the idea, and I think I tweeted this too, I think the core message for me is, if I tell three people this is a bad movie, they will tell three people it's a bad movie, and then everybody will know it's a bad movie, right?
Yeah, that sounds it. You know, a word of mouth, nothing quite like it. And it's a darn shame. I just not that Salman Khan's going to listen to this, but I want to beg him that if this is what you want to do, if, you know, this is, and I know he does, I really know that he does, you know, because we have this personal connect, right?
Yeah, totally.
I know that he wants to make a difference. I know that he's got this nice Samaritan sort of a lookout, which is fine, each to themselves. But I just wish he would surround himself with good people to do it, because otherwise he's just going to end up looking stupid like you do right now. It's sad.
My worry is, and I think I've had this worry for a while now, is he's getting back into his magnanimous favor-giving mode. And that was his downfall last time. And I'm wondering if this is happening again. I mean, he's helped out...
he always gets backstabbed. You'd think he'd learn by now.
Yeah, but I mean, because he's almost virtually untouchable, you know, and he's come back so many times, and he really wants to help out everybody around him. And you can see that in the casting of this movie, you know. But it's not good. He's letting his fans down, and that he you know, it's not about people
from the rickshaw wala to his sister to his jija. Yeah. Every single person is an important actor in itself who has, you know, finished their time or wants to have their time but isn't getting their time, and lives probably in Salman Khan's house. That's the atmosphere of this movie, and he's just gathered them all up in one movie. And, you know, I don't know how much favors they've called in and he's called in, but that's all you can see in this movie. It's all these charity cases.
And it's a shame, and I think he's made
it's not casting, it's just, you know, bringing people that you know together. It's not, you know, okay, this character has these characteristics, we should cast X, Y, and Z.
And I mean, he's made like his Arbaaz Khan a 100 crore movie director, right? And now he's helped out Suhail Khan, who hadn't directed in 12 years. I think it's enough with the favors, right? I mean, I'm worried about Kick, because that was the whole thing with Shreesh Kunder and then Sajid Nadiawali suddenly becoming director. That feels a lot like Dabang 2, and I was actually one of the people that liked Dabang 2, but I want him to get out of this favor mode. Like, he needs to start thinking and maybe hooking up, you know. I mean, maybe it's too much and it would never happen, but this movie needs to be directed by somebody like Rajkumar Hirani, right? I mean, that's the kind of caliber you need if you have such a grand idea.
That's the man to get if you want to deliver a message as well as entertain people and not shove it down their throat.
Yeah.
That should be his middle name, I don't know. But that's, you know, and that's what I mean by him surrounding himself by wrong people. It's just that you just don't have the right director on you.
Yeah. And no amount of peeing on bushes with Aamir Khan is going to save this movie, right? I mean, this is this is not what you need. You need to get Aamir Khan to call Rajkumar Hirani and get him to direct a movie with Salman Khan if he wants to do such a movie, you know?
And that you have to, first of all, you have to decide what you want. Do you want box office hits, or do you just want to? You know, I think he's losing respect. I mean, yeah, sure, you've got those crazy fans out there who will abuse me when I say anything, and probably they're gonna abuse us after this as well, so be ready for that. Anyways, you know, you're gonna have all those people, but you're losing respect from the industry. They just think that you're gonna deliver any rubbish. It's gonna make 100 crores. You're not gonna deliver, you know, they're never gonna take you seriously. They're never gonna take your movie seriously. Is that really how you want to be remembered?
It's just not a good movie. I think they're saying it's a fault of the marketing, the promos weren't there, this and that, but it's not. It's a badly made movie, it's badly edited, it's badly written, and the only thing redeeming is those three factors we mentioned and that it's a positive message, you know? That's it. But the rest of it is really, really bad.
And even Salman Khan can lighten up the mood, you know. Even when he comes on screen, I don't like, usually it's like, yes, Salman Khan scene, you know. But usually it's just like, oh, okay, so something else is, you know. And like, I didn't smile throughout the movie, which was really, I came out really depressed. Like, usually a movie with a message should be uplifting. Like, I mean, I have to take the example of a very overrated movie that I actually don't like acknowledging, Barfi. I came out of it, I was sad, but I was happy in this weird, it's a weird feeling that you get after you finish Barfi, right?
Yeah.
But when you come out of this movie, you're just depressed. I feel like it's 3 hours of no smiling. I did not smile for a single bit. And that's really sad for a Salman Khan movie.
Yeah.
It it was a bit worrying.
Any final words on Jeho?
No, I just really, I mean, this is going to sound really harsh, but I sincerely hope that it does not make money, because it's only that will wake Salman Khan up to say, okay, look, we need, like, you know, I need to make some serious tweaks, because, you know, it usually takes a really big low for that guy to wake up. It happened last time. I think it's about time we got Salman 3.0. That's what basically I'm trying to say. I mean, 2.0, great. I think it's, I mean, like, you know, I don't know if any Doctor Who fans are watching this, but listening to this, but he needs to regenerate, like, now. Yesterday.
Yeah. And I'm actually looking forward to his next one with Kabir Khan. That's the only one I have hopes for, but I don't even know when that's happening. I think there's the horror that awaits us with Kick.
Oh, there's a Rajshri movie happening. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm a huge Rajshri fan.
That was the old Salman, you know, and how long has Suraj Bajatia not directed, you know? I worry about that. So, like, I don't know what that
those people really, like, have the, you know, they have their hands on the pulse of the Indian audience. You know, they wrote Vibha. Most of us made fun of it, but it made some serious money. You know, it's the only saving grace to Amrita Rao's filmography. So if anyone can sort of bring a new Salman in with a good script, and I think Rajshri are the only people that he lets take rein, and he doesn't take rein. If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I think that'll do him some good when that happens.
I think
happens.
He needs to get some directors where he can clash with. I think he needs like a Kabir Khan.
Which he did. He says he clashed with Kabir big time.
You know, maybe even like a Karan Johar even, you know, like I think.
I have a feeling that that's coming. I don't know. This inkling that a Dharma movie with Salman is happening. Whether it's a Karan directorial, I don't know. But which is what he needs. He needs to get out of his own damn production house, his family, and go out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think both of us were. I think after this podcast, we're done with this movie. Like, literally, I don't think we ever want to think about it. This was good to kind of hash it out between you and me. I think hopefully people enjoyed it, and I hope we didn't offend any huge Salman Khan fans. But we probably
did. Fans, okay? So, like, I clearly wept last night. I'm here all alone in Gold Coast, and I watched a bad Salman Khan movie. This was very low times for me.
I think we need to go back, and I'll watch Veer Gati. you watch Maine Pyar Kyun Kiya, and I think we'll be good again.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
So, Pratna, where can people find more of your work?
Okay, well, usually I live on Twitter. It's pretty sad, but I do. You can see me on twitter.com/sakhispeaks. That's SAKHISPEAKS. I also have a blog, but unfortunately, this whole being a lawyer thing doesn't let me write much. But that's sakhispeaks.com. Otherwise, bollyspice.com is where I usually am. I usually do all the fashion write-ups whenever I can, so you'll find me there.
Okay. I'm Asim Birni. You can follow me on Twitter. You can follow more of our episodes on youpodcasting.com. I actually created like a little segment with all of our interviews, and there's quite a few out there, and I think we do something unique. So go check it out. Let me know if you enjoyed it. If you want to fight, come find me on Twitter and I'll punch you out. Thanks for listening, guys. This was You Podcasting.